Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT Podcast. I'm Alan Kenny, Editorial Director with NAREIT. Today is September 29th, 2014. Join me on the phone are Michael Hedden and Mark Shapiro of FTI Consulting to discuss their latest commercial real estate market commentary and look ahead at projections for 2015. So, Michael, let's start by talking about the state of the real estate market right now. In your last report, you paint a pretty rosy picture, but can you give us an idea of some of the indicators pointing towards a healthy market right now?
Yes, Alan, I can. Our real estate report is basically on fundamentals. So we go through the necessary fundamentals in the economy relative to, for instance, GDP. And the GDP, based on our analysis, has been increasing, although be it slowly, it has starting to pick up steam, and we would expect it to, go to a more of a an average above 3% in the 2000 and late 14 and early 15 market. The unemployment rate obviously continues to fall, and the participation rate is also improving, and so we would expect the employment picture to then contribute to the overall growth of the real estate market. And the income, although personal income and wages have not been growing as strongly as we would have expected, given the comeback in the economy, the rise in the stock market and the home prices increases have created a wealth effect that is allowing, I think, the consumer confidence to increase, as our report indicated. Although you will see some weakness in the spending habits, our consumer spending isn't as strong, and even recent reports and with the back-to-school spending and the housing market have been somewhat weaker than anticipated. But generally speaking, the overall fundamentals, I think, are there. We, in our report, talk about the ISM non-manufacturing index and factory orders rising and durable goods order increases, so that even though small, we seem to have some positive momentum going forward, and which would be consistent with how the economists are seeing it as a slow growth recovery. So as it results, you end up with some demand from these fundamentals contributing to the overall increase and support of real estate values. Now, what you've got on the other side is that this demand is fundamental demand coupled with significant capital on the sidelines investing in real estate. So the capital markets activity and the amount of funds that can flow to real estate have contributed to this demand in key sectors, whether it's in the Northeast here in between the Washington and Boston corridor, or out in L.A. and San Francisco or Austin or Chicago. So there are certain markets that are in our global gateway cities where there's a significant institutional and investment demand driving up, because of the available of funds coupled with the fundamentals. And then this is counterbalanced by the fact that there's limited supply. So other than the multifamily sector, there hasn't been a lot of supply or inventory added. So as a result, you'll get increasing prices and a strengthening of the overall market. So these are the highlights from our report just recently published that would generally support the fact that we're optimistic about the real estate market going forward.
And Mark, how are the real estate debt markets, especially the market for commercial mortgage-backed securities, how are they holding up?
Sure, Alan. So overall borrowing activity by commercial property owners is running at a similar pace to last year, and interest rates are still continuing to remain low. Specifically, we've seen nearly 100% and 50% respective increases in the healthcare and hotel sectors. However, the multifamily, office, and retail sectors have all showed year-over-year declines in activity ranging from 5 to 10%. Comparing current activity to the first quarter, overall lending activity is up about 35%, with increases in all sectors. The greatest increases have been in the hotel, healthcare, and retail sectors. Looking at lenders, commercial banks have been the most active, with a quarter-over-quarter increase of more than 130%. However, there's also increased lending activity among government-sponsored enterprises and life insurance companies. On a year-over-year basis, the picture is a bit different. Lending activity is up for CMBS about 45% and commercial bank loans about 19%, while GSE and life insurance activity is down by around 15%. Looking at CMBS issuances, activity remains strong, with issuances totaling $41 billion in the first half of the year. This is slightly off last year's pace, which can be attributed to increased competition in the form of conduit loans from community and regional banks. At the current pace, activity is expected to fall short of the initial 2014 forecasts, which were around $105 billion. Presently, Deutsche Bank remains the most active, with about $13 billion of transactions underwritten through the second quarter. CMBS delinquencies have also continued to decline and are now below $32.5 billion, which is a significant change from just over a year ago, when balances were about $47 billion. And these declines are spread pretty well across most of the major property sectors.
And, Michael, let's talk about the other major capital food group. How about equity issuances? Are REITs particularly active raising capital through the equity markets?
Absolutely, and that's been a significant aspect of this growth in the real estate values, if you will, or the increase in values, because the REITs, let's just give a historical perspective. In 2013, the REIT industry raised about $84 billion, and that was allocated between $65 billion raised by the private publicly traded REITs. The publicly traded REITs raised about $65 billion. And then on the non-traded investment trusts, also REITs, they raised about $19 billion. So all in, there's a significant amount of cash that got raised, or equity, I should say, that was raised in the 2013 timeframe. And if you look back, for the non-listed trusts or non-listed REITs, year over year from 2012 to 13, they doubled the amount of capital they raised. And for the REITs, the regular publicly traded REITs, they're at par with what they raised in 2012. So much of this significant increase in 2013 came from the non-listed REITs. But in 2014 now, after the second quarter, they've doubled their pace of capital raising to about $11 billion, from $11 billion to about $24 billion quarter over quarter, according to SNL and NAREIT, your organization. So, you still have – it's a little bit behind the pace of last year, but significant amount of capital being raised. Now, that's being deployed in repositioning of certain assets, and there's a lot of these this equity that has been raised, seeking out yield opportunities and in tertiary or secondary markets, not only in primary markets, but it's starting to get deployed throughout the real estate market because, as I've just said, there's a significant amount of money that's been raised. Now it's been paying down some debt and reallocating balance sheet items, getting ready for buying opportunities as they present themselves, or recapitalization of other assets where their CMBS or whatever loans are maturing over the next couple of years. So there has been a significant raising of capital by these REITs, and that contributes to the overall health of the real estate market.
And Mark, looking ahead, are there any sectors that you think are particularly well positioned to best perform, I guess, for the rest of 2014 and on into 2015?
Sure. Well, okay. We're not expecting significant changes over the next 12 to 18 months in any of the major property sectors. Looking at the office market, office vacancies continue to remain around 17%, and effective rental rate growth has been modest at less than 1%. Continued recovery in this sector will be tied to employment growth, which is positive but is still down from last year's pace. Still, we've seen continued improvement in primary markets like New York, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. And looking ahead, we expect these markets to remain strong and to outperform other areas of the country. With the increased competition in these areas, we think there will continue to be heightened interest in secondary areas like Chicago and Atlanta. Turning to look at the industrial sector, vacancies are continuing to decline and effective asking rents are increasing. These trends are expected to continue, although rent increases are expected to be modest. There's more upside in this sector given the continued steady vacancy declines. And looking at the NCREIF Property Index, this sector has been the best performer four of the past five quarters, and annualized 2014 returns are projected to be the strongest within the sector since 2011. Retail vacancies are declining, albeit at a slower pace. No significant changes are anticipated in the next 12 to 18 months, and rent growth will likely be modest at less than 1%. store closures and the challenges faced by brick-and-mortar retailers still remain as primary concerns. We expect retailers to continue to downsize and for the growth potential to be among specialty grocers and discount clothing stores. Despite generating lower returns, the apartment market remains strong, as the vacancy level has remained essentially unchanged at around 4%, and the demand for available units remains high. Construction activity continues to be up as developers are working to meet their increased demand. Rents have also continued to increase, extending a trend that started in 2010. As a result of the strong competition in the primary markets, investors are expected to continue to look at opportunities in all areas, and again, as I said, secondary and tertiary markets, and overall sales activity will likely trend up to finish out the year.
All right. Well, Mark and Michael, appreciate you both coming on to talk a little bit about what's going to be coming up in the commercial real estate market in the next year.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us on.
Yes, thanks a lot.
And thank you all for joining us, too. For NAREIT, I'm Alan Kenny.